Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:06 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch the Yeti. 6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on Home and Garden Television and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 855-765-1045. Special welcome to all our friends listening as well as watching the video stream on Facebook at Home Pro Inspections, on YouTube at Mr. Home Inspection, and, of course, on my personal LinkedIn page. And a shout-out into space to those resting at the International Space Station.
We're waiting.
Waiting patiently. If you have a friend, a family member, or a connection at NASA, we would love to have the first call in to a talk radio show right here at the Home and Garden Show at 855-765-1045. I don't think that's asking very much.
No.
I mean,
no.
Up there floating around in space.
We're spending a lot of money up there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Little return on investment.
A little phone call would hurt, you know?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
the most popular garden show in the world.
We are.
Yes.
We're the only one beaming all around the world.
Exactly.
As it turns out, makes us most popular. We have people checking in from Australia. We've had them from the Philippines. We've had them from France. We had them Peru. And those places, when you put things in perspective, are much further away than the International Space Station.
Yes.
It's only a couple hundred miles.
We're thousands of miles away.
Yeah. It's like here to Miami, except straight up.
Yes.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
What's happening in space? I mean, rather.
Do you know
that,
you know, as you reading about avocado cultivars.
I love avocados.
Because I love we talked a couple weeks ago about broccamole.
Yeah.
Which is, has amazing health benefits. And
of course.
You can eat a whole bowl for 90 calories. I mean, what else could you ask for in life?
No fat, gluten-free.
No fat, tastes good. You know, a little bit of maybe just a little bit of mayonnaise. I like a little bit of mayonnaise in
your guac?
Yeah, in my broccamole.
Okay.
Okay, so, hey, but they do, their car coming out with a new type of cultivar. But the reason they've been working
avocado.
On this, that in United States, there was 8,900 visits to the emergency room for avocado injuries. People severing their fingers or cutting their fingers to get that seed out.
I thought you were going
to
tell me they were swallowing that giant seed like they didn't know it was in there.
No, not yet.
But you know, as round as the avocado seed is, if you were successfully swallow it, I think that baby passed right through pretty easy.
It would pass through pretty easy. Just getting
getting
the first gulp down would be difficult.
Like a peach pit.
Yeah,
if you swallowed a peach pit, that's pretty intense. That could do some tearing on the way down.
Yeah, it's got a little sharp point on it. So they actually are coming up with an avocado that's going to be shortly available that is going to be seedless.
Okay. Really?
So another problem solved by the great.
How will it reproduce?
It's going to be sterile without take cutting. You know, that's oftentimes when there's these hybrids, they're sterile, just like a banana. You know, we were talking about bananas last week, the Cavendish banana. you know, you look at those brown little things in the middle of the bed.
Those are the seeds, yes.
Those were formerly seeds. They were, you know, it's sterile. But if you eat a more, you know, genetically primitive, I would say one hybridized variety.
Yeah.
All bananas are hybridized. Everything's hybridized at some point or another. But they have viable seeds. So, you know, this is something that's not really common, you know.
Will take the place of that seed? Will the fruit just grow?
Yeah, they'll just take cuttings from it. They'll just take cuttings from it.
No, but I meant when I cut it open, as it is now.
Just be solid avocado.
All the way through?
A solid avocado.
Where will they be grown?
I don't know. Florida. Florida's avocado. So? And then they'll have them in California. You know, of course, in South America, there's a lot of avocado.
So it'll basically still grow in the same place. We've not changed its...
It's not going to change its
ambiance.
cultivation at all. You know, so, you know, getting the end of the summer, you know, and your mulch is looking a little tired, you know, you could get this, give it a shot here, mulch paint. It's
mulch
available
paint.
Online. You
just
know?
Say no. I hate that idea already.
Yeah. Hey, but if you've got your mulch, it's looking tired.
No.
And you got about, you know, it's still around 3 inches thick. You know, you want to spruce it up.
Sprinkle a fresh layer, a thin layer.
Yeah, you could do that.
I don't like rubber mulch. I don't like that orangey mulch.
Well, you can get other colors, brown, black, you know, any color you want.
Black.
Brown, black. You know, the black is getting more popular now. And you get yourself...
What about the soil temperature? Do I need to worry about heating it up?
Nah. Well, black is... It will increase the soil temperature, of course.
Probably a little bit too.
But I think if you buy a little... The thing's about $20. You get a gallon, you put a pump up spray, and you spray your mulch. And if you rake over it a couple times, you know, and turn over the, stir up the upper surface, then go back over it again, it will look good for probably next season. You know, so mulch paint, I give it a shot. It works fairly good.
I don't like it.
I don't really. It's okay. It's $20. It's lower labor. If you got 3 inches of mulch, you want to make a color. You can get it online.
Is it a latex or water-based product?
Water-based.
Water-based.
Yeah. If you got a pump-up sprayer, a couple of gallons, one you could...
I could see...
$10, throw it away, you know.
I could see one of the manufacturers putting an insecticide in it, you know, kind of a multi-purpose thing.
Right.
Kind of like cold medicine.
Right.
You know, cold medicine does like 9 things.
Right.
Here, it's a color, it kills bugs, it kills weeds, it fertilizes. Wait, there's more.
Right. Hey, maybe you need to be a pitchman on mulch, you know?
My favorite pitchman ever, he died. He coked himself out.
I know, the
Billy
guy,
OxyClean. Yeah, Billy Oxy. Mays.
Yeah, he was amazing.
He was a genius.
On the pitch.
Except he coked himself out.
Unbelievable. But right now, you go to the garden centers are having unbelievable sales, you know. So if you love gardening, you know, if that's your thing, you know, on the weekend, if you like to go out work and tool around the lawn, then you can go to Lowe's and Home Depot's and have these racks of 50% off, 60% off plants. And then how to, you know, determine which ones are good and which ones are bad. They may be leafless. They may look a little sorry, but it's worth taking a chance. You know,
is it really a next year thing?
So it's kind of a next year thing.
It's out of its prime.
It's out of its prime.
So it may be scraggly.
You either dried out, got waterlogged, it could have, you know, just, you know, multitude of things, dropped, broke. You know, the waterlogged ones you want to stay away from. That means you slide the plant out of the pot.
You risk fungus.
Yes. And you will look at it. If it's all the roots are black, that one's a dud.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to take a chance on it.
Contaminate the rest of your garden by doing this.
I don't think that's an issue because you want to treat them. You want to put them in a little plant hospital. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
You got some root rot. You can put a little bit of bleach, water, a couple teaspoons. It should recover. But the main reason these plants
are there nurses at the plant hospital?
Yes, yes.
Really?
You're the appointed nurse. And then the next thing is what happens a lot of times, they'll get, they're not in the right sunlight condition. You know, some plants aren't sun. And the people at the nursery, they get them in the wrong spot and they start dropping the leaves, not doing well. But that's easily solved. Move it in the sun, you know, then water up and then a little bit of light fertilizer. You could take maybe a gallon of water, mix in a little fish emulsion, a little Miracle-Gro in there. Lighten it up. Remove all the flowers. That'd be one of the first steps to reviving them. Remove all the flowers. Trim up. clean up any debris on the plant, but don't go too crazy on the pruning portion. And then put maybe 3 or 4 cups of Fish Emulsion and Miracle-Gro on it, and it should start to revive, you know. And then so you're taking a $27 plant, you got maybe $10 invested, you got a little bit of fish emulsion labor, a couple bucks on that, you're saving yourself about $15, you know, right there.
Per plant.
So you could, and then a lot of flowering plants have gone out of flower, and they're not as attractive, and people want to, you know, they want to sell them so they would be like 50%, 60% off. And those are good buys, you know, because, just because they don't have flowers, they'll have flowers next year, you know, and then cutting off the deadheading and planting them. And then,
would you, for the most part, allow that to stay in a pot till it's healthy?
So, you can do that. That will speed up the process because you'll concentrate the fertilizer and you'll eliminate the shock of being transplanted in the thing, so there'll be a quicker recovery. So if you buy like 30 plants and you save $10 a piece, you save $300. And that'd
you
be
did
worth,
that without a calculator.
Yeah, I did that without a damn calculator.
Did you do that in your pre-show prep, or did you just do that math in your head?
I did that 3 times to make sure I had the calculation right. You know? So those are some great ideas right now in the garden, you know, because, you know, cost of landscape materials going up. You know, grass is like tripled in price, and it's, you know,
tripled. What do you attribute that to? The cost of land,
transport?
Well,
you know, the building, you know, they had that big building boom, you know, when the 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then it stopped.
Yeah, they couldn't give sod away.
Yeah, I mean, without building the sod, you know, the sod farms are geared up for that expected growth. And then all of a sudden it stops. So you have all this land, you turn it into something that's productive, like vegetable gardens, mm-hmm. vegetable farms. You know, much of what happened, but a lot of these sod farms were either closed or turned into growing crops, potatoes or...
Well, they're back now.
They're back now, but it takes time to, if you've already got your vegetable garden or vegetable farm growing, and you've been producing vegetables now for 5 years, and it's productive, you know, you're not going to be wanting to change back to growing sod again because you have something that's working.
Yeah. And you're probably need about a two-year window to turn that around.
It's working.
Yeah.
It's working. Why are you want to change it and put all that expense on it? When it's not working, then you got to do something about it.
How does sod as a crop, the return per acre compare to other things like soybeans or corn?
That's a good question. I think it's about equivalent.
About equivalent.
Yeah. You get more turns on the sod than you do on the, it depends on what kind of grass you're growing.
In a year. We got 2-3 maybe?
Oh yeah, you could, St. Augustine, you can go more than that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's plugged, boom, it's up, you know, it depends on how much fertilizer.
What about the replenishment of the soil? They gotta bring dirt in because
they're losing a little dirt. Cutting down.
Keeps going lower and lower.
Yeah. Keeps going lower and lower. That's a big issue, you know. That's why they have so much. When you go to a sod farm, all the fields have drainage areas right next to them because it's going lower and lower. So the best thing to do is start on top of a mountain.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Huh. But so that's sod's going up. You know, you want to. One of the things about when you're planting soy,
buy sod futures.
Yeah. Well, yeah, heck yeah. I mean,
it's an interesting idea. If you can predict building, sod lags building. For the most part, right? New construction is what drives it.
You know, a lot of sod cultivars are patented.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew a guy who used to sell patented varieties to the Chinese. And, of course, the Chinese were stealing the patent.
You can't ship sod back. They're dying right.
No. But you have to pay them to grow that sod. And for every unit of that you grow, you need to pay them. Well, the Chinese were cheating on that.
As always. It's 6:20 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right on the phones to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 6:25 here at News 104.5. Grateful that you're with us. Love to hear from you. The number to check in is 855-765-1045. Well, I was successful this week.
Yes.
On Monday, I closed on the boat slip. It was a great thing. I bought a 60-foot boat slip.
All right.
With a concrete floating dock and concrete piles.
Right next to your...
And they gave me for free.
What they because I bought the boat slip?
Yeah.
They gave me a condo for free.
Okay.
Life, joy in life is about perspective.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So many people would say, hey, I bought a condo. It's on the water and it has a boat slip.
Right.
Not me, man. I bought a boat slip and got a free condo.
Oh, can you live on the boat and rent a condo?
I could.
Oh, wow.
I could live in the condo and rent the boat. I could rent both and live elsewhere.
Okay.
I have boundless opportunities before me.
Wow, great.
It's been really interesting. So it closed on Monday. It's already gutted.
It's concrete, solid concrete.
Yeah,
so
concrete walls, concrete floors. Even the roof decking is concrete.
Oh,
it's a bunker.
Oh, bunker.
Basically, it's built like a commercial parking garage. Mm-hmm. And then we put kitchens and baths and bedrooms inside this parking garage.
Quiet then.
It's very quiet.
And cool. Right.
Yeah, and if the you know the bubble bursts, you know, if Trump pushes a little too far and the Koreans launch at us on the Chinese, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
I'm in my bunker.
You'd be only toasted.
Yeah. But it's been fun, you know. We're doing this gut-level renovation. And so I put the kitchen on Craigslist. And somebody, I said, free kitchen, come get it.
Yeah.
Somebody came and got the kitchen, ripped it out.
Ripped it out.
Sold the appliances, gone. Floors. And we've chatted before.
Recycled the floors?
Yeah.
Someone took the floors out?
They took the floors. So the floors, it only has two bedrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
So two of the bedrooms were carpet.
Right.
And I cut that up and threw it in the dumpster. That was the end of that. But the rest of it was vinyl flooring, that snap down vinyl flooring.
Uh-huh.
So I unsnapped it all, stacked it up. It's gone.
Oh, wow.
Somebody came and got that, too.
Wow. Wow.
Here's the crazy thing. You know, you want to meet the neighbors, sort of.
Yeah.
And after we gut the kitchen, you know, I got to move some pipe. So in order to move the pipe, you got to turn off the water.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just turn off the water right in your condo. You got to turn it off at the source or else.
And everybody's without water.
I drain everybody. No. So here's the deal. Each one has its own individual shutoff valve. So I go down and I turn off my shutoff valve. I'm thinking, okay, that's good. Let me go test to make sure this is going to work.
Oh, what's the right one?
I get back in the condo. Well, they're labeled. 302. So I turn 302. I get it back up in the home. I'm running water, and it keeps coming. It keeps coming. I said, well, maybe the pipes are routed
wrong
kind of a funny way, and they're still draining or whatever. And I thought, okay, maybe they're mislabeled. Could be.
Uh-huh.
So I turned off 301, 302, 303, and 304. Turned off all four of them. And still didn't stop the water. Thinking, this is an interesting problem. So I turned them back on before I left for the night. This was Tuesday night. Turned them back on, except I left 302 off. I thought, I think I'll leave it off. And then I discovered that 302 actually feeds 301. I got to meet the nice on-site manager. I went to see her and said, hey, I got this problem with my water. And she said, well, what's your problem? I said, I can't turn it off. She says, where are you? I said, 302. She says, that's interesting because the lady in 301 is complaining she hasn't had water for a day.
So 301's 302. Okay,
yeah,
got that one.
So I left it off, and she had no water overnight.
Just
probably
scratching her. What the world?
Yeah, I was really, you know, it was kind of funny in one sense, but I felt bad. Mm-hmm. So what they ended up doing, you know, there's four valves, there's all these units, they couldn't figure it out, and they called the plumbing contractor out who had done this work originally, and they got futzing around, and they were mislabeled, and mine was not among the ones in the cluster. So they got digging around, and they found it adjacent to the others.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't even in the group.
It wasn't even in the group. Yeah,
oh,
just like
gosh.
in a lawn irrigation, you have those little plastic plastic covers and tubs. It was in a gang like that.
Yeah.
Well, I've got my own access now. So I now have it. So I'm real sorry to all my new neighbors about turning off the water for the day.
Turn off everybody's water.
Yeah.
That's a great way to start. Great way to start.
Yeah, but that home inspector guy living in the neighborhood just isn't going so well.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that was what happened to me. It's 6:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 6:36 here at News 104.5. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here, enjoying the morning together, taking your calls at 855-765-1045. 1045. You know, anytime you're doing a gut level renovation,
yes,
you find surprises.
Yeah.
No matter what due diligence you did ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So my Home Pro Inspections, which I own the company, I never inspect my own homes personally. You know, whenever I'm buying something, I already know I want it. I already know I'm excited. So I don't look at it myself. I have my staff do it. And, you know, somebody, I just hire one of my own inspectors. They went all through it, did a great job. I'm really excited for the good things they did to help me out. Yet there still come surprises. And the more changes you intend to make to your home, the more surprises you'll see. So they had found during the home inspection we did to WDO also on this condo I'm purchasing, found drywood termites.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, they didn't find live
ones. Well, concrete, there can't be a lot of drywood.
Well, it's rare to actually discover a live termite. What you discover is the little pellets.
The frass.
Turds.
Yeah,
termite turds that they leave, you know, so... So Austin discovered that, and like, oh, okay, I can manage this. And I initially made contact with the Homeowners Association before I owned it to try to get some information about this. And it's a real interesting dichotomy that you get into where you're not an owner, so the information isn't really supposed to be disclosed direct to you. It has to go through the owner, and then you got this involved and that involved. It got real complex. So they gave me the name of the company that had, allegedly, the pest control contract for the whole association. Mm-hmm. Said that was Massey. Okay, I heard of them. That'll be fine.
Sure.
So I called Massey and said, hey, you know, it's me. I'm Wally. I'm buying this unit. I said, we're sorry. You're not the owner. I'm like, oh, gracious. Here's another obstacle. So I said, okay, I'll deal with this after I close it. So we make contact with him, and now I discover, yes, Massey has the pest control contract, not the termite contract. So they said, sorry.
That's rude.
Yeah, we can solve this for you, but you must pay us because we don't have a contract with the association or you. I said, well, that isn't going to work. So then, and this all took days to figure this out, weeks almost. So then I thought, okay, so I've been told there's a termite contract. Who has the termite contract? And I finally figured out it's Turner. I think, good. You know, I love Turner. I have a great relationship with Turner. I'll get Turner out. So
it's weird that they don't have the pest control and the same people.
It's a little interesting. I would agree with that. And there's probably some good reason. And as I dig deeper, you know, we may discover that. Why? I don't know. But so anyway, so now they Turner's coming. And I know them. I like them. I trust them a lot. Mm-hmm. That's who had been treating my existing home that I'm in. For the same thing, as it turns out. But anyway, so they're coming out this week. Now that I've got the home gutted, they have unfettered access. So no matter what they think is the right best course of action, I can take that best course of action without worrying about cabinetry and paint or carpet. It's like, okay, if we weren't worried about damaging anything, what would we do to absolutely reduce the likelihood of a return and put it at its lowest level? So I'll let you know next week how that played out. But
yeah,
this is a never-ending saga. This is going to go on for months, these various iterations in the gut rehab, and always looking forward to people checking in about your renovations and gut rehabs at 855-765-1045. Let's check in with Dan and see what's going on with his mold situation. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Actually, it's not my mold situation. I live in a homeowners association here in Mandarin, and we have townhomes.
Yes.
And there's an end unit townhome that's a rental unit, been a rental unit since day one. And I was just told that the neighbors next door, who I know really well, they can hear these monster fans turning inside this place because apparently the original carpet was so moldy and mildewy. And there's apparently issues in the backyard where the water's not draining that the rental people just moved out because it was unlivable.
Yeah.
And I have two questions related to it. Number one, the unit next door, there's a common wall, a firewall. Do they have any concern for mold and mildew issues down the road coming over toward their unit? Their backyard is dry. They don't have any issues themselves, you know, with their unit. But the fellow next door that owns the place, apparently he's a cheapskate and never does anything.
Yeah.
And the second part to my question is there any way that they can bring this to the attention of the health department or someone in the city of Jacksonville, not only for their concern, but for the future people that may rent this unit.
Sure. So that's a good question. It's a common situation. Ideally, the homeowners association is responsible for the drainage unless the person who owns that unit has done something to modify it in some negative way. So the homeowners association.
I know we're not. I know we're not, for a fact.
You know you're not.
We're not responsible for the drainage because I'm on the board of directors, been there for 20 years.
How is it that you're not responsible for drainage of common areas?
It's not a common area. It's the backyard.
Okay.
It's the homeowner's back. The lay of the land has just changed over the 30-plus years, and it's just like people that have easements, you know, behind their property, they have to take care of it. Uh-huh. And last, I did what you told me or told people to do years ago. I put gutters on my house.
Good.
I dug trenches, and I got the water away from my house, and my garage now doesn't smell like a basement from up in Ohio.
Good. Good, good. So we'll set aside the issue of the homeowner's responsibility. If you're on the board and you've already determined that the board has taken no action for correction, we'll just set that to the side. So first and foremost, we need to identify the source of the moisture and solve it. You've already done that. So you're going to need to work as a board to cause that action to occur. Now, to the inside of the home, the fact that you're hearing fans is a positive potentially. Ideally, those fans are dehumidifiers and or air scrubbers or other drying mechanisms. That's a good thing. If that if that's being done by a reasonable and reputable company, they're also likely filtering as they're dehumidifying and drying. If they've removed that nasty carpet, that's a very good thing. So it sounds like someone's making an attempt to do the right things. That said, if they don't solve the drainage, the expectation is it will reoccur, especially if they put carpet back in.
Yeah, correct, correct.
So that may reoccur. Now to the risk of the adjoining homeowners. Very, very, very low. Very low.
Okay.
So if the damp area is in that other unit and the dampness is contained to that unit, the proliferation of the mold is likely contained to that unit. It's very easy, and we do this on a weekly basis, to sample the air in the adjacent unit. You take an air sample inside, an air sample outside. We send it off to the lab, and that will give you an absolute yes or no. Is there a mold issue in the adjacent room? So that's easy to do, a few $100, and you're done. So I wouldn't be worried about that. To the idea, you said, well, you know, can we notify the city, do this, that, or the other? Almost assuredly, no.
Okay.
And it's interesting, you know, getting the city involved, depending on what the issue is, whether it's the building department, the health department, or whatnot, people often want to do that. And the two things that can occur are nothing and condemnation, neither of which is helpful. See what I'm saying? So my suggestion is, as an association, you begin that process of notification and demand to solve the drainage problem. That's the way I would manage that.
Okay, yeah, because see, one other homeowner on the same street, they actually hired somebody. They had a backyard issue, and they did the. They actually sent the water all the way out to the street. They had a little.
Little catch basin.
Drain out the curb, and their backyard's dry now and everything else.
That's a great solution.
Okay, so here's my other question. Is the owner of this rental unit, are they under any obligation down the road to inform potential renters that this unit had this problem at one time for, let's say an elderly person moves in there and they've got health issues? Because, I mean, I can only imagine could there be issues with the drywall in this unit, mold behind it?
If they solve the problem, they've solved the problem.
Okay.
So, in a sales scenario, Johnson versus Davis, which is case law, would suggest you need to disclose all things that materially affect the condition of the property. If you've solved those conditions that materially affect the conditions of the property, it's kind of should you or should you not. When you're looking to gain trust,
And it is the, in the ideal, you disclose. You say, I had this problem. This is how we solved this problem. And this is verification that the problem no longer exists. That's the right and proper way to do it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, the people that happen to live next door are also the president of the Homeowners Association, and her husband's a disabled vet and everything else. They're just great people. And so my concern was for them.
Well, I will tell you, the activity, there's two activities. From a board perspective, the activity is to begin that involvement to compel correction of the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then from the action to determine, is this person in the adjacent, are they at some reasonable physical risk? Is there a mold problem in the place? You do air sampling. I mean, we do this all the time.
Roughly, I'm going to go ahead and tell them what you said. Roughly, what are you looking at? $100, $500, $1,000 to do the testing?
Two inside tests and an outside test, which is the benchmark, I believe, is $395.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell them that because the president's she's very reasonable,
yeah,
very level-headed. And I'm going to tell her
truthfully,
that. I told her I was going to call.
You've pushed all the buttons, meaning
yeah,
you said, we have every reason to believe there's a mold problem. We have every reason to believe it's a negative impact on the person in there. You know, you said when you blend those two things, it mandates an action.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, good. Thank you guys for your, thank you for your show. I've been listening for years. I've learned so much. I can't believe how much I've learned.
And God bless you for being on the Homeowners Association.
For 20 years, you're a soldier.
I've been told that I'm a historian because I've known every story that's happened in this place for 20 years. I could have written a small book, and some of the things are unbelievable.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. Thanks for your show again, and thanks for that information.
Yeah. Let me give you the phone number too, if you want to check in at the office. It's 268-8211. And if you go to our website, there's a lot of baseline information there about troubleshooting and solving problems like yours. And that website is gohomepro.com. And we'll chat during the week.
Yeah, I've referred a couple of people here to your place in the past. So
thanks,
they were very happy with the results. All right, thank you guys.
Have a beautiful day.
All right, you too.
Bye. All righty, Bruce. Bruce has got some roses, but he's got some challenge with his roses.
Okay.
Bruce, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Calling from St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
And I got about 30 knockout roses that I planted in the spring, late spring. Mm-hmm. They're doing extremely well, but I'm just curious about pruning. You know, should I cut them back 6-8 inches a foot? I don't know.
Right. That's a great question, because one thing about rose growing in the lower southeast, you know, is the days and our months, we have our summers are so long that, you know, we get that extended growth where they actually will start to actually get, you know, 5 foot, 6 foot, and they'll start flopping over. And then, you know, they'll get somewhat leggy on the bottom or open in the growth. So a light pruning about this time of light, you don't want to do any hard pruning until the winter, but a light pruning will help them do better. The one of the things you want to do right now, if you're a rose grower and you enjoy growing roses, the way to have a second spring is break out the Miracle-Gro rose fertilizer and the fish emulsion and start applying it to the roses about half the rate of 3 to 4 times before it cools down, and you'll have they'll look as good in the fall as they did in the spring, or better, you know, because I don't know how much you fertilize them. 4 or 5 applications, light pruning, they'll just flush right back out as soon as that temperature drops down around 75 degrees, and they'll bloom all the way up to January.
Perfect.
All right?
So I can cut them back maybe 6-8 inches.
How tall are they right now, just roughly?
Pardon me?
How tall are they right now?
3 feet.
Yeah, about 6 inches, that should do.
Okay.
Great call. Right, well, great question, too.
What was the fertilizer again?
Miracle-Gro rose fertilizer and fish emulsion.
Fish,
you get that?
Emulsion.
I think the best deal right now on fish emulsion, I saw it at Walmart, pretty cheap price. Oh, and Lowe's had a pretty good deal on it.
Okay, well, thanks for the help.
Thank you.
Good luck with it. It's 6:51 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Very brief break. Jumping right back to your calls. You are our reason for being here. We absolutely love hearing from you. 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. It's 6:57 here at News 104.5. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here with me, enjoying the day together, taking your calls at 855-765-1045. And a reminder, should you wake up any morning, even during the middle of the night, and think, I need a large landscaper to come on out here.
Yeah.
And fix up my landscape, come my hardscape, and my driveway. Come here.
Is that your southern accent?
Come here and landscape for me, boy. Larry'sGarden.com. Blog, video, frequently asked questions. 2,000 garden
nerds.
I think
we got a million hits on YouTube. Maybe total? I don't think about it. Yeah. I think close to it, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the joy of websites and the other digital technologies, is people can enjoy your stuff from all over the world.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Larry'sGarden.com, they got everything there to give you some ideas, to give you some incentive, give you stories of others who have successfully conquered that landscape problem.
Yes.
And if you like, rather than do all that jazz yourself, you can make contact with Larry's Garden. They can do the design for you, and then you're in a position over the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years, you can layer it in over time yourself.
You want to get that exercising done.
You can do your own exercise. You can have them do pieces of it. But it all begins with a plan. You've got to have a plan. No one builds a house without a plan, yet people put thousands or tens of thousands of dollars into the landscape, and they got no plan.
You know, 15 minutes of planning is not a plan either. Oh, we'll put this there and put this there, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it's Larry'sGarden.com. Let me give you the phone, 346-1970. If you're outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, Palm Coast, Gainesville, those types of places, St. Mary's and beyond, 904-346-1970. Me, Wally Conway, easy to find all the time online. Go HomePro.com. Everything you need related to due diligence and problem-solving, troubleshooting as it relates to homes as well as commercial buildings. We can get your WDO scheduled. We've got sewer scopes, infrared cameras. If you need information to make a decision about a purchase, a sale, or a renovation of homes large and small, commercial buildings large and small, go HomePro.com. The home of the 18-month warranty. That is exactly correct. Friends, do not let friends buy 12-month warranties when they could have 18 months. You can choose your own contractor.
Price and more coverage.
Significantly more coverage.
Right.
18 months compared to 12. But more than that, there's no pre-existing conditions. You can choose your own contractor.
It feels almost free.
It's better. It is free. If something goes wrong, then you're covered. Yeah. I have researched this over 20 years before we created the relationship with Residential Warranty Services for the 18-month warranty. The reason you've never heard me endorse one in the previous 25 years until we created this relationship with the 18-month warranty is they were all about the same and not very good. It's 7 o'clock here at News 104.5 WOKV. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Good morning. 7:08 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Home and Garden Show. The Home and Garden Show is heard every single Saturday from 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. right here in the East. The Home and Garden Show features Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. Larry's job here on the show is to share his 20-plus years experience toiling in the soil so that your hardscape, landscape, and all things out there can be beautiful. Me, Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. My job is to share 20-plus years' experience crawling through attics and crawl spaces and other things around the house, troubleshooting and evaluating problems and sharing that with you and answering your questions. What makes the show the most fun for us, though, is your involvement. You can be involved by telephone at 855-765-1045 and through the wonders of modern technology, the live video stream on Facebook at Home Pro Inspections, on YouTube Live at Mr. Home Inspection, and on my personal
LinkedIn page, WallyConway.com. So you can post pictures there. You can have all kinds of fun and do it with us. And we're happy, happy, happy to be involved with you. Checking in with Matt, who's got a little bit of a poo problem, it appears.
Oh, my gosh.
Something's happening with his sewage. Matt, welcome to the Home and Garden Show. What's the problem?
I have, for the first home I've ever owned, it has a drainage vent inside the house with the vent toppers on them.
Right. Studer and vents would be a brand name.
Yeah, I have isolated it to one particular one that when we run the washing machine underneath that sink, it gets humid and musty under there.
Right.
So I replaced that vent.
Good.
And it still does it. And then when you flush the toilet in the bathroom where that vent is, it makes a honking sound. So I'm wondering if perhaps that pipe has a break in it or something.
It could be. There's a couple of choices. How far away is the bathroom that you get this response from? How far is it from that kitchen appliance that's causing the problem? Do they share a common wall?
No, they do not.
Okay. To the best of your knowledge, do they share a common vent?
I don't know that. There's three indoor vents, and there's, I think, three on the roof. I'd never been in a house that had these indoor ones before.
Yep.
And the other ones, whenever I run anything, I go to those sinks where they are. And I open the cabinet, and there's not humid under there or warm or anything, but this particular one, it is. And I replaced some of the plumbing fixtures underneath that one because it had rusted because it was so humid under there.
That's interesting. How about your clothes washer? How is that located in this mix?
That is the appliance that I'm talking about. It's downstairs, and that's the thing that when it runs, it causes this.
Got it. Okay. Because when you're developing humidity like that, it's almost always associated with hot water. So it's the clothes washer. There's a
washing machine.
Washing machine.
Clothes washer. What are you trying to reinvent the English language?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Hey, go ahead.
Just play on your phone. So anyway, the best guess would be there's some clog or blockage somewhere in that drainage/vent system that's not allowing that vent system to breathe correctly. The least intrusive way to troubleshoot that, other than laying hands on it and good guess, is to use a sewer scope camera. We have those. Many plumbers have those.
That's
and essentially, what we would do is get up on the roof, is where we usually start, and go down the vent with the camera and trace each vent and see if we can find a clog. You know, what comes out of your... What do you want to call it? Clothes washer? Yeah. Washing machine.
Washing machine.
Yeah, there's you know, lint and whatnot in there, and yeah. Sometimes, you know, you can get a little fur ball of lint or some other blockage. Likely there's a blockage somewhere in the system that is causing an excessive amount of that humidity from that discharged hot water to you know.
Could it be something that fell in externally?
It could be, but yeah. Man, that's good luck.
Yeah.
You know, to drop something down that you're right, it could be a pine cone, it could be anything.
Dead squirrel.
But the joy of the digital camera, you get a full color picture of everything that's in there.
And it takes some guesswork out of it.
It does. You mentioned having three vents, so just go down each one. Your question about, well, what is, you know, could it be a crack? The answer is yes, that's relatively rare in the plastic pipe, but it's possible, though the camera would see that. So if somebody drove a nail through it, somebody had a screw that went through it, we would see that. If it became disconnected, we would see that.
Yeah, I had a problem with a plumbing problem, and they came, you know, I called a third plumber, and then finally a guy with a scope came down and figured it out.
Yeah. The scope's the inexpensive way to go. You know, it costs you less than $300 to scope it, and it's not destructive. That's the good thing about it.
What if I took that vent off in the bathroom where it was occurring and tried to flush that out with either water or air?
You could try that. The risk you run is, depending where the blockage is, you may end up pumping water into cabinetry or other locations.
Mm-hmm.
So you, and to blow air down it, you have less risk because you can't flood the place. The problem is air won't get any UGG behind it if it's venting even partially. It would take a boatload of water or air or water to dislodge something, depending what it was. And if it's a break, you're making the problem worse. So
right.
Now, okay. We could also, depending on the access, send the scope right down that vent. So you pop that Studer vent off. Studer's a brand name for those vents. Pop that vent off, run the scope down it, and any, you know, we could run the scope down an unlimited number of locations. The more locations we have access to, the more probability we have of isolating the specific problem.
Yeah, what I don't understand is that if that vent is working properly, air shouldn't come into that cabinetry.
Well, yes, it should.
It lets air go in, but doesn't come out. It's a one-way vent.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think that it, in the perfect world, the problem that you're describing can occur. So we know that something is not right. The idea that you've had a defective valve and you've replaced it with another defective valve, that's very unlikely. So, you know, my best course of action would be to scope it to see if we can come up with anything else. And even in the process of scoping it and engaging in conversation, sometimes we get an aha moment that, you know, we'll figure it out. But I really feel a blockage is the most likely scenario.
Yeah. What I might do first is try to do some sort of air or water through the drain where the appliance is,
yeah,
instead of where the vent
is. What you
are.
Need to do is work a little overtime, maybe 2 days, and then have someone figure it out. Come on.
You can also try
it out the first time correctly, and that way you can just, you know, relax when you're off.
You can try snaking it. But, you can snake it. You can run water down it. There's any number of things you can do.
Oh, I tried the same thing. I snaked it and I watered it, did everything else. And finally, I gave up on it and called a guy who scoped it. And then, yeah. Boom, it was fixed. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks. Good luck with it. And a reminder, don't flood your house. Uh-huh. All righty. Checking in with Bill. Bill's got some plant issues at the old homestead. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Bill.
Hey, thanks for putting up with me.
Well, we're all grateful right. to have you. Where are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Southside area by Copeland's Restaurant down in there.
Okay.
I live on Hogan Road, but gotcha. I don't really have any plant issues. I have, like many people, neighbor issues. The people that own the house across the street are landlords. They are pretty negligent in the care of their property.
Uh-huh.
But they've rented to some folks that evidently where you got 45 vehicles parked in the yard, that's normal.
That's
and the yard is low. So they're killing the grass. They're leaving, you know, there's a big mud hole and
yeah.
five trucks, and it's just pretty ugly. I have a tree that blocks some of the view, thank goodness. But I'd like to plant something under the tree between the sidewalk and the road. And right now I'm leaning towards Pittosporum because I'm hoping to fill that gap between the branches of the tree and the ground, so I don't have to look at that eyesore over there.
Well, Pittosporum will grow there, but I would go with Cephalotaxis because it's more shade tolerant. It looks very much similar to Pittosporum, and they have Cephalotaxis prostata, which grows around 2 to 3 feet tall, and it's a spreading, like, ground cover shrub.
No, I want something 5 feet tall.
5 feet tall?
It's not real shady out there. It's like 100% sun because there's only this one tree that's
okay.
about the size of a pickup truck.
That's a good one, easy to grow. It's a little on the slow side, so I'd go with something a little bigger when you start out. But you can get them already 5 feet tall because that's a fairly commonly grown shrub, and they grow them in 30 gallons or 15 gallons, and you know they'll be up there.
How about a fence or a trellis type thing?
Well,
I like to piss form idea. That way it's no maintenance, you know, and looks green. It's
that's what I'm thinking.
Attractive.
And how fast will they grow in a year if you, you know, in the perfect world?
About 4 to 5 inches. 4 to 5 inches.
Oh, boy. That is pretty slow, isn't it?
Well, how many you need?
Okay, so the other option is I have a neighbor next door to these folks that has literally painted half of his house. One side's kind of a Bahama blue, and the other side's tan because he got cited for by the city for having a crappy house. And this guy owns this house. Mm-hmm. I got power lines over these trees. The ones that exist are a pain in the neck to maintain. And I'd like to plant something on the left side of my driveway and block some view of his stupidity. Do you have a suggestion for a 10 or 12-foot plant that's fairly upright growing that'll get 12 or 14 feet wide?
Wow. 12 to 14 feet wide, getting quick. That I would get juniper, Virginiana, Brody.
How about bamboo?
You can put bamboo, too, you know, but bamboo's a little expensive. Then, you know, if you want, if it depends on how old are you. How old are you?
Well, I'm not older than dirt, but I'm pushing that. I'm 64
well then,
next month.
Okay.
Me too. Happy birthday to us.
Yeah. So, you know, you want to look at the reality of the situation. If you buy a 3 gallon, you're going to be, you know, long gone before they get up to 20 feet, you know. But the thing is, you know, bamboo is the fastest growing plant, you know, one of the fastest growing plants in the world.
I have some.
And you could get one of those, plant a 3 gallon in there, and it would be, in 2 years, you'll have a 20-foot plant if you water and fertilize.
Well, I have some bamboo, but it's so dry down there.
It's all right. You know, bamboo can take
pavement.
You're going to have to water to get it started, but bamboo's tough.
Yeah.
You're going to have to water.
I didn't even thought about bamboo. That's
if you plant Bambusa, Texillus, Gracilis, it will create an opaque, you know, you can't see through it.
Yeah, I have it. I have some on my property line. Somebody that lived here before, the imbeciles, planted running bamboo, so my neighbors are all under siege from that, but I have planted some clumping since I got here.
Clumping will
I hadn't
work
even
great.
Thought about that.
Great.
Okay. All right.
Impenetrable barrier, too.
Maybe these people will move and your life will improve.
Yeah.
Well, the guy on the other side of my house has never mowed his backyard since I moved here a year and a half ago. And, you know, it's just, we won't be here for more than 3 years.
Good, good. Well, good luck with it. Sorry you're having that frustration.
It's
721 here at News 1045 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right on the phones to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 726. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. We are here for you and with you, and we're grateful to you. If you'd like to check in with us, love to hear from you. 855-765-1045. Going over to Mandarin, checking in with Paul, see if we can help him with his roof. Roof. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Paul.
Good morning, guys.
I have a couple
of questions.
Sure.
We're looking to re-roof the house and the architectural design. And I'm just curious, what are the best asphalt shingles that you would recommend?
Well, based on how I spend my own money, meaning I'm a frugal guy and I want it right, I chose FIDUS, F-I-D-U-S, roofing, and I chose GAF shingles. Here's why. GAF has a shingle program called Master Elite Dealer, where they'll sell shingles to anybody, but in our area, there's only about 6 or 10 Master Elite Dealers. Here's why that's special for you. A Master Elite Dealer, such as FIDUS, can deliver what GAF calls a Golden Pledge Warranty, and it's 50 years, believe it or not. In the first 25 years, it's transferable. That has value when you sell your home. And the warranty is backed by GAF. Even if the shingle installer were to go out of business or die or whatever happens, it's the most intense warranty available from the largest shingle manufacturer in the world, installed by an elite dealer, and that's their terminology, Master Elite Dealer. And that's how and why I chose FIDUS. And interestingly, it was 3 years ago, I did a lot of research, and chose them to do my roof. We've done a lot of other business together where we've troubleshot some of their projects, and they've helped us with some shingle issues. But when Hurricane Matthew came by, a giant tree fell on my house, and there was $65,000 worth of work. Fidus took care of the whole thing. They redid my roof. They fixed the drywall on the inside. They essentially rebuilt the second floor of my home. I've known them a long time. I trust them a lot. And my specific recommendation to you is GAF, Master Elite, Fidus. And
are they allergy resistance and stuff like that?
Say that again.
You know, like allergy, you know how you see some roofs that are stained from allergy over time?
Yeah. Yeah, and what happens is for our area, they have a shingle that has more antifungal, anti-whatever the heck, algae in it. It's specifically fortified to reduce the likelihood. And the darker color you choose, the less visible that is. So at some point in time, you will get algae, but by choosing a high-quality shingle properly installed, it will take longer.
Do you have a recommendation of a company?
Yeah, Fidus. I'm glad your wife is paying attention. What's your wife's name, Paul? Let me speak to her.
Go ahead.
Actually, I'm here. My name is Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Fidus. Hey, how are you?
Go ahead.
My main concern is our roof has made it 17 years. We've been in the house 27 years. And we've been pretty happy with the actual shingles that we have on there.
Hey, Ellen, I gotta stop you. I got the Fox News traffic and weather coming. So stay where you are, and I really want to know what's on your mind, because if you're happy, Paul will end up happy. So stay with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 7:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and when we come back, Ellen is going to make Paul's life better because Paul's going to listen to Ellen, who's listening to us. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 7:37 here at News 104.5. Grateful that you're with us. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here if you'd like to join us. Here is that number, 855-765-1045. All righty. Before we went to the news, we were chatting with Paul over in Mandarin, 17-year-old roof, getting ready to replace it. Gave him some great advice to check in with Fidus to get the GAF shingle with a Master Elite dealer and the Golden Pledge warranty. Now, Paul was not paying real good attention, so thankfully his wife Ellen was also listening to the Home and Garden Show. She is on the line. Ellen and I were about to engage in conversation to solve this problem when we had to go to the news. So, back to it. Ellen.
Okay, I want to know, is this a fact or a myth? Driving around through neighborhoods just trying to determine the color, I see new houses and houses that are being re-roofed are going with a black roof. Do these darker colors, are they going to affect the wear and tear on my air conditioning unit? We do have properly vented baffles inside the attic, plus extra insulation that was blown in a long time ago. And then we also have a ridge vent on the roof. So would that be a factor? I do like the appeal, but I don't want the black roof. But is that a factor?
So, yes, the color of the roof is a factor. It's a factor in that the darker the roof, the hotter the attic temperature. There's no escaping that. However, if it's well insulated and you like the color, first and foremost, choose the color that you like and will make you happy, and then recognize the pros and the cons of that color. So if it's black, the pro is you like it and it doesn't show the mold, mildew, and staining. The con is the attic will be slightly warmer.
And it will deteriorate faster.
Ever so slightly.
Ever so slightly.
Ever so slightly.
The actual shingles will deteriorate a little faster than...
Slightly.
Marginally.
Okay. It seems like a hit or miss with shingles and
no, yes, that is a factor, because the hotter the roof and the more absorbent the color is, it will heat more. But it's irrelevant.
Okay.
Choose first and foremost what you like. If you want a white roof, your attic will be cooler and it will stain sooner.
Right. Okay. My next question is, obviously, with an older roof, it has currently the felt underlayment, and now they're using a, they said they could either use a peel and stick or that other waterproof membrane that goes on between the layers. And what I'm questioning is, okay, peel and stick, you'd think, oh boy, that sounds great. But then I was reading something online. We live in Florida. You put a black roof on, you've got that peel and stick, you got all that heat buildup. When it comes time in whoever, if we're not here in another 20 years to replace the roof, somebody else, it's a lot harder to get that peel and stick stuff off of.
Well, you're asking all the right questions. So peel and stick is a brand name. If you choose a GAF shingle that I'm recommending to you, they have their own proprietary product. So what peel and stick actually means is that underlayment is adhesively attached to the roof sheathing. That is the right thing to do. That will earn you a discount on your homeowner's insurance, and that will give you the greatest protection should shingles blow off and storm damage and things. So in my opinion, that is the right thing to do. In my opinion, we should do that on every roof. Is it possible that 20 or 25 years from now, when someone goes to replace the shingles again, that it may make it a little bit more complex? Maybe. And here's why. It's only complex if you need to replace sheathing. So to me, that marginal issue is irrelevant. When I make these decisions on my own properties, I choose it's called a SWR, secondary water resistant membrane. Peel and stick would be a brand name. I would absolutely do that.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you so much.
Is Paul okay? Is he out of trouble now?
No, he just got a big smile on his face.
Wow. I won't ask.
That's great. All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you. So I share with you, I bought this condo. We're doing a gut rehab on the condo. When we move, which will be late September, early October, this will be the first time that Tanya and I have not been on well water in 30-plus years. I like well water. Now I'm in the condo. I can't have well water. Thankfully, my buds over at Affordable Water, Mark Kinder and his crew, they're working with us to cause our water. It's JEA water. I'm not bashing JEA. I just don't want all the chemicals and the other stuff in my water. I'm strong like bull.
Yeah, we want to get high miles out of you.
I want high mileage. And we have some interesting challenges in the condo that Affordable Water is solving for us, such as the water softener itself. Where do you put the water softener in a second floor condo?
Small space.
So that space is very limited. They actually have systems that are kind of streamlined, thinner, so that the footprint required is only 8 inches for the softener itself and only 11 inches for the brine tank. So we're looking at shrinking that down to accommodate that need. The next level of challenge in a condo, and Affordable Water has the experience and the consultative approach to solve it, is what do you do with the discharge? We're working through that so we can discharge that brine water in a legal way and in a low risk way. When I say low risk, it's not flooding into my home or the homes below me. So we're working through that. Then we're looking at, well, what about chlorine? What about your ice cubes? What about all these other things? So we're still in the design process of exactly what we're going to do and where we're going to put it. So we're designing the cabinetry. We're designing the closets. All these different things are being thought through now with this consultancy that doesn't cost anything from Affordable Water, so that I know that when I move, I will have the healthiest, the clearest, the cleanest, the safest. I'll feel good about my water like I do now. So they've been caring to my well water.
And well engineered. You got everything.
Yeah.
Maximum efficiency.
And economical, you know.
Right.
I'm not looking to spend $20,000 to make my water the way I want, yet I'm willing to spend the way that I want. And I'm going to be able to drive the cost down because we're thinking it through in the design stage. I mentioned to you earlier in the kitchen, I have no kitchen right now. We gutted the whole thing. We're moving the locations of the sinks. That's going to move the locations of many other things. We're running the lines so I can have the type of water I want to go right to my refrigerator, so I have my ice cubes the way I want. Last thing I want is nasty ice cubes. You know the nastiest water you ever drink, you ever consume, is ice cubes out of a public place.
With all that stuff on the bottom of the glass. They're
not, very few restaurants, very few convenience stores are some of the worst. They're not properly servicing those ice machines. And man, they get some funk that comes out.
Oh yeah, I bet. Yeah,
watch that. So anyway, if you've got a water challenge situation and there's a physical challenge with it, meaning where am I going to put the equipment? How am I going to run the pipe? How am I going to do these other things? You can't solve those problems with fly by night, one size fits all water treatment. You need specialty expertise. You need a variance in equipment and a variance in the physical approach to causing your situation to be exactly what it is. Over the years, Larry and I have come to the same position, in a very high trust position with Mark Kinder, his team over at Affordable Water. The website, check them out, Affordable Water Jacks. Get yourself a consultation, which is different than a sales call.
Right.
Consultation. Come on over. Educate me, listen to me, and then share with me what my options are to make my water exactly the way I want it. So that's my reminder on affordablewaterjacks.com. Heading over to Arlington, checking in with our pal Carlton, see what's up with his sago palms. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Carlton.
Yes, good morning. I have several very nice-looking sago palms,
mm-hmm.
and yesterday, actually, I noticed one of them was coming down with some kind of illness. I don't know. But anyway, it's a white powdery substance, mildewish looking.
Yeah, that's Asiatic scale. And that was brought in by one of our prominent universities. But anyway, that's pretty easy to take care of. You know, you want to get some Telstar or Mitocoprin and put that around the base or spray the tree. And this is what they have horticultural oil. They have other things that you can spray on it. But you want a long-lasting residual chemical or insecticide that will stay in the palm and dry out the population. And what you do with mitocoprin, what happens with mitocoprin, it gets absorbed by the palm, stays in the palm for about a year. And so any Asiatic scale that's climbs up there and makes itself at home there is going to die immediately because the palm becomes poisonous to them. So once this goes on for a period of time, then you're completely clean again. So when you spray, there's always the eggs laying, there's always the hatchlings, there's always the immatures. You've got to break that cycle. So Telstar or Mitocoprin or Merit is another, it's a brand name for it. Go out and get some of that. And you can get it in a granular and spread on the ground. You can get it, a Bayer Insect Controls in trees and shrubs. That's the active ingredient. You can buy that at Lowe's and Home Depot or a local garden center. And, you mix that in a liquid and pour it on the palm. And that's what I recommend you do.
Oh, I was asking about that mitocoprin. You said
mitocoprin. But or called Merit. It's called Merit. Is the trade name
Merit?
Merit, yeah. Can you buy that retail?
That's at Home. That's at Home Depot.
Yeah, it's in Bayer product called. Yes, you can buy it there. Bayer product called Insect Controls on Trees and Shrubs.
That's a creative name.
I think I've seen that before. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much.
That's the active ingredient.
All righty.
Thank you, then. Thanks for the great call.
Thanks, Carlton. Now,
yeah.
Sagos were so popular in the 80s.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
If you moved into
they were like
Jacksonville, 300,
400 bucks, 500
yeah.
bucks. A one that's, 6 feet tall would have been, $1,000 easy. But they just, people paying you to cut them down now. They want them now, just cut them down. I just say cut them down.
So, something that came to my mind when we were chatting with Carlton.
Yeah.
Should he, those palm fronds that have the Asiatic scale, should you cut those palms
well,
off?
Well, if they're not that badly damaged, no. But if they are badly damaged, they won't recover.
If they're brown, if they're turning brown,
yeah, they just cut them out. Cut them out.
Can you take them all out and not kill the tree?
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
Closed or not closed?
Closed.
That's the main question.
Closed. You mean the front itself?
Closed or not closed? No. Drainage systems.
Closed or not closed?
Drainage systems.
You're talking about in a yard?
or anywhere.
I like them open.
Yeah, well, you're wrong.
I have a different opinion.
No, wrong. Opinions are based upon, they can be facts or not facts. But, you know what I mean? But the best thing, you know, about drainage systems, you know.
Oh, you know what I want to do right now?
What's that?
I want to tell you that it's 7:50 here at News 104.5 on the Home of Garden Show.
Oh, he's cutting me off.
We'll be right back for your calls. I need a call, 855-765-1045. If you don't call me, I need to listen to this thing about drainage. Help a brother out.
Please call.
7:55 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry Knight, grateful that you have been with us. We're heading down to St. Augustine to check in with Bob and talk about salt-free water systems. Welcome, Bob. What's the question, sir? Bob, have I got you? All righty, lost Bob. Let's go down to Green Cove Springs. It'll be our final caller of the day. Arlen, with a hot water heater question.
Hey,
welcome.
Yeah, I've got. I want to get the nomenclature correct since you had problems with the washing machine. So I'm putting in.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. This is Arlen, correct?
Arlen.
Yes.
Thank you, Arlen.
Larry doesn't know names. I don't know machines. So tell us about the water heater.
Anyway, I'm putting in a water heater, and that is called a hybrid water heater. In other words, it's a heat pump.
I'm familiar. Which brand did you choose?
Okay. Good. I went with the Rheem.
Very nice.
And it was a nice installation. Now, here's the issue. So I went from copper with shark bite fittings to CPVC.
All right.
Is that acceptable? I checked the Universal Plumbing Code and said yes.
Yeah, there's no problem with that.
They know. Okay.
CPVC is the norm. Virtually every house built in anywhere in our region over the last 30 years is CPVC, chlorinated polyvinyl chloride. It's the buff-colored plastic. That's perfect.
Okay, and to use shark bite fittings is perfectly acceptable?
Well, that's an interesting one. Why did you choose that over just gluing them together?
Because I went from copper to CPVC.
Ah, yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, and the other thing is, when do you need a tank on top of that, one of those... now, I don't know the nomenclature for that tank.
Almost never. That's a pressure bladder. Yeah. It's intended to kind of meter the flow of the water so you don't get water hammer. Very, very, very rare. So if you've already installed it and everything is working fine and the pipes aren't throbbing, just forget about it.
Okay, perfect. I love it. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
Perfect. My answer was perfect.
Yeah.
Clothes washer. Dishwasher. Car wash. See? So the word preceding the word wash describes
nice
what
to call
the
your
washer
wife a
washes.
Car washer. You know what I mean?
Easy. Easy. Hey, we got about a minute. Let's check in with our buddy Jack. Jack, welcome, my legend friend.
Hey, Jack.
How you doing? Enjoying your old show. I hope it saved you from that. Whatever.
There you went and brought it up. I had this whole problem suppressed, Jack.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. Just scratch that. Larry, my round garden, I put all that good stuff on top of and everything, and rain and the weeds just covered me up. I heard you talk last week, 3 to 4 inches of mulch. Should I put cardboard and paper down before that? And then if I
cardboard, and newsprint. Yes, absolutely. It's the most successful way. There's nothing better than cardboard to control the weeds. Yeah.
I've got plenty of that. All right, then do I cut down through, and I put the pure dirt, if you can find it, on top of it. Do I cut down through the cardboard or just put it on top of the 3 or 4 inches?
Put it on top.
Right on top. All right. Enjoyed your show. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jack.
Your timing is impeccable. That's why you are the third musketeer.
Y'all take care. Have a blessed weekend.
Bye, sir.
Thank you.
7:59 here at News 104.5. We are grateful that you have been with us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.